I'm in this business 25 years. We hear rumblings. We hear things. We read things. When franchisees flee faster than they join, the system's in collapse mode. Dickies is not in growth mode. They are circling the drain. All right, welcome back to the Pursuit of Profit podcast. Today's episode dives into the smoldering ashes of what was once the largest barbecue franchise in America, Dickey's Barbecue Pit. Dickey's was founded in 1941 by Travis Dickey, a World War I veteran who opened his first barbecue stand in Dallas, Texas. His children have taken over the brand and took it to a peak of around 570 units, only for it to become clouded by lawsuits, FTC complaints, franchisee bankruptcies, and a severely damaged reputation. On this episode, we're going to break down Dickey's mistakes. Let's also discuss mistakes made by investors and franchisees and how to avoid them going forward. Dickey's is walking the same path Quiznos paved. Fast growth, low franchisee profitability, and a franchisor more focused on collecting fees than building sustainable partnerships. If you're buying a franchise, you have to ask yourself, is this a business? Or a brand that survives by burning through new owners? I see critical parallels between Dickey's Barbecue and Quiznos. These are two textbook examples of franchise systems that collapsed under the weight of their own growth strategies, poor franchisee economics, and misaligned franchisor-franchisee relationships. Here's a breakdown of what went wrong, and we're going to go through about seven of these different topics. The first is obvious. It's overexpansion. Expansion's not bad, right? As long as you're expanding and you're adding infrastructure. So the most dangerous part of franchising is overexpansion without infrastructure. This can lead to a franchise system implosion. Again, Dickey's grew to a peak of 570 units, and they did it in about a decade, which is remarkable growth. Today, they have under 385 units globally as of December 2024, and that's what's disclosed in their FDD. To compare that to Quiznos, Quiznos peaked at over 5,000 units. They're today under 200 worldwide, effectively dead as a major chain. And quite frankly, I thought that was a pretty good product. I thought it was a better product than Subway. I want you to remember something. You make money on the net profit of the business. The franchisor makes money on your gross revenue. This misalignment, coupled with bad leadership that's myopically focused on gross, vendor rebates, and franchise sales revenue, are absolute recipes for disaster. And there's nothing wrong with the franchise model methodology. You just need a franchisor that obsesses internally over the P&L, the bottom line of the franchise community. There's nothing wrong with how they make their money. It's the lack of systems. That's what bothers me. So here's the lesson. When franchisees flee faster than they join, the system's in collapse mode. Dickey's is not in growth mode. They are circling the drain. With, again, exploded to about 570 units. By the way, they did that by 2017. But with rapid growth came really shallow support. Franchisees reported minimal field training, poor marketing execution, profit margin erosion, and a franchise system stretched beyond its capabilities. No infrastructure. I'm going to quote former franchisees throughout this episode. Quote, I opened two stores in 18 months. Corporate was non-existent when we had real issues. I felt like we were just numbers, not partners. That's a former franchisee out of Ohio. The second issue is misrepresentation of startup costs. What's prompting this episode is a New York Times article that investigated Dickey's. It was released June 3rd, 2025, so you can look it up. In the Times, they spoke with 37 franchisees who claimed that they were enticed to purchase franchises based on misleading financial information, and that many were in debt before they even opened the restaurant. I personally read their FDD. Of course, I read the current one. I read the item seven, the initial startup investments. Dickey's listed startup costs around $323,000. The problem with that is that several franchisees, more than several, claim that their real build-out costs are over $900,000. So this discrepancy is shocking. Again, same issues with Quiznos. They had franchisees securing 2,500 square foot spaces for a brand that only needed 900 square feet. Franchisees were grossly overpaying in construction and obviously in rent. I mean, I don't know if you remember Quiznos. You walked into some of these places, they were two, three, four times the size of a Subway. Subway understood, we don't need that much square footage, right? Most people dine and dash or grab and go. They're not sitting in there a long time. You don't need a huge seating area. And with delivery now, a lot of these businesses that are fast food, people are in and out. As I said, they're grab and go. They're using drive-throughs. They're ordering third-party pickup and delivery. When you read an FDD and review item 7, some of the biggest expenses are going to be construction, furniture, fixture, equipment. The ranges are created by existing franchisees, right? That actually open locations. This is not just about Dickies. This is about any brand. So when you're looking at item 7, you're like, where are they getting these ranges from? They're getting it from the franchise community that opened from San Francisco, New York City to Wichita, Kansas, every market in between, wherever they operate. Obviously, the cost of operating in California, New York are going to be way more expensive than a small town in Nebraska. Again, I want to quote a franchisee. We were told it would be turnkey for under $400,000. By the time I opened, I was $1.1 million in. I almost lost my home. That's a former franchisee out of Florida. I also want to quote on this topic a law firm, Zarco, Einhorn, and Selkowski. One of the managing partners, Robert Einhorn, was in the article in the New York Times, and he stated that franchisees were misled. Quote, franchisees are losing their investments. The whole business model is simply not working, end quote. I want to quote another attorney, and this is powerful. When the item 7 range materially misleads buyers, it opens the door to legal action. The FTC requires a reasonable basis for every estimate, and Dickies had enough data to know better. It's so true. You've heard from some incredible franchise brands right here on the podcast. If you're sitting there wondering which opportunity might be the right fit for you, we're here to help. At Franosity, we offer free consulting services to aspiring small business owners just like you. We'll guide you through a focused, strategic process to help you identify the best franchise match. Call or text us at 561-277-3710. Or visit us on the web at franosity.com. That's franosity.com. We look forward to working with you. Next up is number 3, okay? Franchisee validation. In this case, poor franchisee validation. Folks, we beat this drum constantly. I know you know this already. You must validate. Don't just investigate. Don't rely on what the franchisor tells you. You must speak to current and former franchisees. Ask them about real build-out costs. Ask them about profitability. Ask them about ongoing support. And one of my favorite questions is this. Knowing what you know today, would you buy this franchise all over again? And pause. The answers are shocking, okay? And I'll tell you why. Good brands don't sell franchises. Their franchisees do. Good, happy, successful, profitable franchisees will sing. They'll just sing because they're happy. They're genuinely happy. Not being told to be happy. They're generally happy. They bought into a system they believe in. They execute it in the field and they're making money and they're happy. That's what sells franchises, not some guy or gal in a franchise development department. So remember that. But in Dickie's case, validation calls were full of cautionary tales. This is what really gets me, and I'm going to get into this in a minute. Validation calls are an opportunity to trust what you're being told by corporate, the franchisor, but verify, right? Verify with existing franchisees. You are validating franchise opportunity with people who do not financially benefit from this transaction. There's nothing more powerful than that. These are some of your most valuable phone calls, and too many people skip this step. This alone should have raised serious red flags. I want you to listen to this because I read it right out of their FDD. So during the last three fiscal years, Dickey's franchisees have signed confidentiality clauses. In some instances, current and former franchisees signed provisions restricting their ability to speak openly about their experiences with the system. You may wish to speak with current and former franchisees, but be aware that not all such franchisees will be able to communicate with you. Unbelievable. I don't know how anyone bought this brand after like 2000, really 18, 19. I will tell you, I have been telling people for at least 5 years, stay away from this brand. For all of you that spoke to me and got mad because you didn't like that I was going against the due diligence that you've done, and you said, I knew you were going to shit on the brand because you want to sell me something else. No, I'm in this business 25 years. We hear rumblings. We hear things. We read things. This brand has been plagued with legal issues, franchise closures, unhappy franchisees for years. This is not new. The New York Times article is new. This situation is not new. Okay. On top of that, when a system is struggling, okay, any franchise system is struggling. It's happening right now to Orange Theory. The franchisees organize and they create an independent franchise organization. Well, in Dickey's case, they actually requested to be in the FDD. So as you're looking through the FDD in item 20, you will see something that says Pitt Owners Association. They put their email, the website, which I'll give you, www.pittowners.com. The former president of the Pitt, this was founded in like 2018, 19. Again, this is not new. He closed all six of his locations. I mean, it breaks my heart to see this happen to people. The Pitt Owners Association in 2019 also did a franchisee satisfaction survey. Now, a lot of these surveys are highly subjective and they're really poorly attended. So, but the reason I'm going to read this out to you is because it was actually well attended and a lot of people did respond. I'm going to say a minimum of 60% of the system responded to this. The survey was done in May of 2019. 58% not profitable. 69% declining revenue year over year over year. 39% considering closing their store. 85% wish they never invested in Dickey's. My favorite question. Hey man, thanks for your time. Before I go, little Columbo quote, right? Before I go, knowing what you know today, would you do this all over again? No. 85% wish they never invested in Dickey's. I want to quote a franchisee, and then I want to say something. I told prospective buyers the truth. I was losing money and corporate didn't seem to care. Some still signed anyway. Folks, this is confirmation bias and it is one of the most dangerous phenomenons in anything. You have put time into researching a brand. You've gotten your spouse there. You've mentally gotten there that we are going to buy brand A. It has nothing to do with Dickey's. Then you speak to people. How's it going? Horrible. Speak to the next person. How's it going? Don't do it. Run. Then you speak to a guy like me. What brand are you considering? Dickey's Barbecue. Don't do it. I knew you were going to say that. And then you get angry. That's confirmation bias. Okay. Super dangerous. And a lot of people had their lives destroyed because they did do the heavy lifting. They did put in the validation, but confirmation bias creeped into their discipline process and literally mortgage their future. Validation calls and the negativity that they've all heard, this was the moment that the prospective franchisee could have walked away. Smart money, disciplined investors conduct extensive amounts of due diligence. For transparency, I've never had a client buy Dickey's. I've never suggested anyone ever buy Dickey's, quite the contrary. And I have no involvement with Quiznos. I've never advised anyone to buy a Quiznos. Okay, this has been going on for years now. As if it couldn't get worse, we have number four, which is adversarial legal tactics. Rather than Dickey's corporate solve disputes privately or collaboratively, Dickey's sued the franchisees. They sued their lawyers. They even sued the arbitrator. I mean, this brand looks horrible. The optics are just terrible. It looks like an aggressive, litigious brand. And again, I want to quote another franchise attorney. Quote, Dickey's move to sue the arbitrator was unprecedented. It sent a message to franchisees that we'll fight you with every resource we have. And that chills franchisees' trust. so many reasons to walk away from this brand. Greed comes in at number five. The supply chain conflicts and vendor markups. Again, this is straight out of Quiznos playbook. Many franchisees claim that Dickies controlled the supply chain, marked up required goods without alternatives. Operators saw shrinking margins. I want to quote a franchisee. This is disgusting, really. I paid more through their vendors than I would have walking into Costco. It was absolutely outrageous, end quote. This stuff is just unacceptable. Number six, and we've all heard this before, evolve or die. This is a model that never evolved. I mean, they have committed literally every cardinal sin in business. While fast casual franchises and barbecue competitors leaned in on technology, delivery, third-party delivery, apps, menu innovation, store upgrades and design, better equipment, Dickies lagged far behind. Stores became outdated, customer expectations changed, and the brand didn't. Just to quote a franchisee, our POS system was 10 years old, no third-party delivery integration. Customers literally moved on. Business is very sensitive, very sensitive. You have to cultivate it. You've got to constantly innovate it. You have to stay ahead of everything. You almost need to know the customer better than they know themselves. My final topic is poor franchisee selection. Dickies didn't just have poor franchisee selection. Former franchisees alleged predatory sales tactics. Dickies targeted veterans, immigrants, and inexperienced operators. I know, it seems noble in theory, but without adequate capital, some degree of financial and business acumen, robust training, realistic expectations, many franchisees failed fast. When I personally see a small business, and my family deals with this all the time, when I see a business shuttered and we're driving around or going out to dinner, when I see the failure, it really does break my heart because I know the stress they carried, the risk they took, and the sacrifices they made, whether it's time away from family, missing soccer games, dance recitals, money they couldn't afford to lose, sleepless nights trying to make it work. So behind every shuttered storefront is really a dream that someone gave everything for. And it pains me to see this. This is reminding me of Bergerim. It's reminding me of some of the worst stories in franchising. And there's not a lot of them. That's one of the reasons why I'm doing this episode. There's not a lot of these. And this is a lesson. It's not about barbecue. It's about franchising done right and aligning yourself with a trusted advisor like us. Dickies built fast, but failed terribly in adding operational support and creating a franchisee-first culture. That's the culture. You have to obsess over the franchisee. Franchisors can't obsess over their top and bottom line. This is a requirement for long-term success in franchising. As a consultant, I tell every investor, and I'm going to tell you now, the brand isn't your product. The system is. The system, that's what you're buying, a system. If it doesn't support you, you're just buying a logo. If you found value in today's episode, please like and subscribe to Pursuit of Profit. Until next time, ask hard questions, validate relentlessly, be unreasonably selective as to what brand and who you surround yourself with, and pursue profit with purpose. Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to like and subscribe so you never miss out on more great content. And if you're considering investing in a franchise, whether it's the brand you featured today or another opportunity, we're here to help. Visit us at franocity.com. That's FranOcity.com. We'd love to help you take that next step towards business ownership.